All right, we continue on ESPN 680, 105.7. Jason Anderson with you. It is this Friday edition of the show heading into the weekend where we got tons of college basketball with Louisville pregame heading into the North Carolina game. That one coming up tomorrow at 11 o'clock on all ESPN Louisville stations. Steve Rummage and Marcus Maben will be live with you. And then postgame, directly following the game, the Coors Light postgame, Mark Blankenbaker, TBG, live from Barino's 502. That is going to be on 93.9. And Kentucky postgame as they will take on Vanderbilt around 10:30 tomorrow night. James Strebel will be hanging out with you postgame for that one. And, of course, all the NFL games coming up this weekend, ESPN Louisville NFL presented by BJ Heating and Cooling, Bluegrass Barrels and Gifts, Merkley Kendrick Jewelers, and MrDelivery.com. Sports or Leisure coming up in a little bit, but right now let's get into a full court press heading around the country a couple of minutes at a time and getting you set for the weekend of NFL action. And we start off with the game that we've been joking about through the first hour. So in Petro, WHB joins us to break down the Colts and Chiefs. Our coverage 3:30 tomorrow with Colts pregame. Seren Petro, Seren, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Jason. How are you, my friend?
I am doing fine. I'm wondering the confidence of maybe the team versus the fan base going into the divisional round as the number one seed tomorrow against the Colts.
I think the team is much more confident than the fans are. You know, the fans have lived through an 0-4 stretch against the Colts in the playoffs and are well aware of the fact that the franchise only won two home playoff games, that the Colts have won as many in Kansas City as they have. All those things reside with the fans that have lived through all that, but most of these players haven't even seen one of those losses. So they're a lot more confident. I think they're actually using it near Travis Kelce. I mean, they're aware of what the fans are saying and the panic and the frustration and the hurt that lives in the hearts of all Chiefs fans, as you know, Jason, personally. But they are taking that as a tool, as the fact that everyone is doubting them. And they've taken the frustration and the doubt that's here in Kansas City and projected it on the entire country. So we found yet another team that's a six-point favorite and the number one seed that has found a way to say, nobody thinks we can do it.
That's right. Only people in this locker room. Nobody believed in us. It's like your quarterback threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Nobody thought he could outplay that defense of the Colts, the vaunted 85 Bears wearing the Colts jerseys. It kind of sounds like there's a little bit of, you know, we always wondered about the Cubs whenever they would play playoff games that they're in Wrigley. It was like the fans would almost then their reactions and their consternation would then almost speed and seep over onto the field of the players. Is there a concern or worry about that the Chiefs players know about the fans' consternation, that you get an interception or so you go, oh no, here we go again, and that starts to creep into the players' minds that where it shouldn't, because they don't give a crap about 95 and 03?
Right, yeah. I mean, I don't think so right now. I mean, right now I just think, like I said, I think Kelce's reaction and the team's reaction is to channel it in the right way and to understand and appreciate what the fans have been through. You know, they share no blame. They hold no, a feeling of guilt like they've done anything wrong. But, you know, Andy Reid does. Andy Reid and about eight players were here in 13 when they blew a 28-point lead, second biggest playoff lead ever blown in the postseason. They feel a little bit of that. So they want to get back from that. And I think there's a want to make the fans feel better. And listen, eventually you carry the sins of the entire organization. You carry the successes as well. You know, somebody goes and plays for the Pats now, they're a five-time champion, right? Because they've got the stink, the smell, the scent, or should we say the good scent of being a New England Patriot. I have become a product of your environment. So if it goes south early, I think you're going to hear fans boo. I've encouraged fans to boo. Because if it goes south, this isn't just, oh, it wasn't our day, or, you know, the ball got tipped up, or the refs got us. No. If it goes south, it's screw you. This is how it always goes for the Chiefs in the playoffs, and you immediately inherit all past sins. So I think you can see a Rockets Arrowhead. A Rockets Arrowhead, if they're winning, it'll be loud, it'll be excited, it'll be back in the team. If they start to lose, I think the fans are going to unleash holy hell for all the frustration they've had for the last 30 years.
Andy Reid, you know, Magic Mike and I were just talking about this off the air, that I think Andy Reid is a brilliant coach that Gets made fun of a lot for clock management and the fact that he's went to one Super Bowl and he's been to all of the, you know, NFC Championship games and all of that. And he's the butt of all jokes when it comes to, you know, clock management, things like that. He's 17-3 off a bye in the regular season, and he was 3-0 in Philadelphia when he had the bye in the playoffs, which makes him 20-3 when his team has a week to prepare for the other team. How much do you think Andy Reid's reputation as a coach overall is on the line tomorrow against the Colts?
I will add in, he's 0-1 in Kansas City. He had the bye when Pittsburgh came calling and
oh, that's right.
The Steelers, right?
Oh, that's right. And the really old guy, James Harrison, who might have actually been dead when he couldn't be blocked by the number one overall pick on a two-point conversion. That's right. They rolled the guy around in an urn, and he still couldn't be blocked to get the holding call. That's right.
And that's the thing. Like, the Chiefs fans and the Chiefs players, you know, were like, well, this, you know, that wasn't a hold, and we got robbed. Except for you let the Steelers get out to the lead, get it, tackle Le'Veon Bell, all those things that were there, you know, are an issue for this team. I think Andy Reid has total confidence in what it is he does. And I think Andy Reid would probably acknowledge if there's a mistake he makes, it's in not changing coaches, right? I mean, he had to have considered replacing Bob Sutton as the defensive coordinator after their performance last year and over the last two playoffs and not being able to get the Steelers off the field in the game we were talking about, and then not being able to get the Titans off the field when they had a 21-3 lead and losing that game last year. So he had to at least consider it. If he's got a weakness, it's in the offseason. It's not in-game. It's offseason. So I think he heads into this game knowing that he has done everything he can do. You know, I was asked a similar question by Sarah Spain. I talked with some folks at ESPN last night.
Name dropper.
Doing what I can, right? I gotta try to build myself up by pushing myself on the shoulders of others. She would be kind of like, well, is Andy Reid second-guessing himself already? And the answer is no. I mean, and frankly, I don't think there's even a question whether or not anybody else should. I share your opinion. I think he's probably the most underrated coach in football history because he's got 206 wins. He's got 11 playoff wins overall because he's done it all with bad quarterbacks. And here in Kansas City, he's done it all mediocre, let's say. Mediocre quarterbacking, and in Kansas City, no defense almost whatsoever over the last 3 years, yet he continues to win games. Andy Reid knows what he's doing. As far as play calling and clock management, and you've already seen these stories be written, and I said this at the beginning of the year, so this isn't just something I've come to now, but you watch how all these stories are going to start coming out in an avalanche. This is going to close one against the Colts, and we're a close one next week. You'll hear Andy Reid finally figured out the clock. Andy Reid understands, you know, game plans, and he understands how to manage a game. It's all crap. You know, do you understand game plans when you drop a play, 52 seconds to go, 3rd and 4, no timeout, you're down 4, and you're 60 yards away, and your quarterback takes off and runs for 6 yards and burns 46 seconds off the clock? Is that you not getting it? Or is that having Alex Smith as your quarterback, where now Patrick Mahomes will scramble to the outside and then throw the ball 25 yards down the field for a first down, saving about 42 seconds and giving you a chance to win? Is that Andy Reid just got it, or he got a better quarterback? I think he got a better quarterback, and that's going to be the difference now for the Kansas City.
All right, there's the macro. Let's look at the micro for a touch here. The matchup. Do you like the matchup? The Colts are a sexy pick. The Chargers are a sexy pick. Quite frankly, the two road teams in the AFC seem like the country really likes to win those individual matchups. So what do you think of the matchup, Chiefs and Colts tomorrow, which could be a snowy game, at least maybe for the first half?
Full disclosure, lifelong Chiefs fan, you know, longtime season ticket holder for the club. So take what I say with a grain of salt, and if I'm right, I nailed it. If I'm wrong, I was just a homer. I do like the Chiefs. I think they've got a chance to get out there. The people talk about how their offense has slowed down. It has slowed down. But it's still been the second-best offense in the NFL over the last, like, 4 or 5 games. It's not as prolific. It's like number one by leaps and bounds. It's still second-best. Where, like, the Rams' offense slowed down, and they're, like, 8th-best in the NFL coming down the stretch. The Chiefs' offense is still very good. And it's not just that Kareem Hunt left that slowed them down. It's that Tyreek Hill had an ankle injury from the Ravens game on. Sammy Watkins hadn't played. They're hoping to get him back out on the field. Spencer Ware could add a second, part of the 1-2 punch to the running back position that they haven't had for several games. If they get those guys in, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif could be active for this game at right guard. They get all those pieces back. All of those things are an accumulation of what's held this offense back. And they've got a chance to get those pieces back out on the field. Not Kareem Hunt, and that is going to hurt, especially in, I think, the four-minute offense. But I think they're going to be better than they've been in a while offensively. How they get home when you got to go on a silent snap count, no offensive lineman. You can't be. I mean, you're doing it on a beat, right? You're not doing it on the sound of the cadence of the call, so you can't be as effective. It also gives the defensive lineman a chance to get in the rhythm of what that count is. Every defense, every pass rush is better at home, and it's several really good pass rush. I think that's enough to create a couple of turnovers, win the game on special teams, win the game on offense, and at least get a draw on defense. I like the Chiefs by 10 points, 34-24.
All right, 34-24. I was going to ask you who wins, so you nailed it there. Real quick, 30 seconds or less, as a Bookie, not with Kansas, they'll be heading to Kentucky in a couple of weeks. Is that an injury and a loss for Kansas that will negate their opportunity to win the national title this year?
I would think yes, because I don't think they have the kind of backcourt that can carry them being two freshmen, two talented freshmen. They're going to have to grow up in a hurry. But Bill Self is now evolving right here in the middle of the season. At the beginning of the conference, not during non-con play, and having to switch back to a four-out type of offense. That's an adjustment. That's a transition. And really, two freshmen at the tip of the spear without that kind of, two-headed monster that they had down on the blocks. I think it's too much to win a national championship, but it's not too much for them to lose to still maybe get to the Final Four.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Seren Petro, WHB there in Kansas City. Seren, as always, appreciate the time, my friend.
Jason, you're the man. Thanks for having me.
Is where we find Tom Burns, SiriusXM there in Philly. Tom, how are you, sir?
Jason, I'm well. How are you?
I am doing just fine. We go from one city that's got no confidence in their team winning a playoff game to a city that apparently this team is never going to lose again in the playoffs because they find a way to win, including getting a tip that results in a kick hitting the upright and the crossbar. What are you seeing that's going on in this run for Philadelphia, winning the Super Bowl last year? And maybe it's only one game completely aside from last year, but it just feels like Doug Peterson, the staff, and the team, and maybe it's Nick Foles, that when they get in the game, man, they find a way to just have one more point than the other team, and it really doesn't matter what's going on. What's happening in this run in Philadelphia?
Yeah, they have pixie dust on their shoulders. It's hard to explain because, look, for whatever reason, Nick Foles, who, let's be honest, outside of an Eagle uniform looks very average, steps up big time in these one-and-done games. And there's a different look to this offense. There's a swagger to this offense. There's a confidence that's not there when Carson Wentz is on the field, which is odd because Carson Wentz, they all love, and happens to be extremely talented. I can't explain it. And look at this game, Jason. You could see the same thing I'm seeing. If you just base it upon statistics this year, the eyeball test this year, everything tells you that the Saints should win relatively easily. The problem is we know what this core is capable of in Philly. We know how high their ceiling is. It's as high as it goes. And you could trust this team in the big spot. Now, you could also trust Drew Brees, you would think. Let's see how he looks if they're able to get some pressure on him. This defense is playing better. The secondary was atrocious for a long time, really banged up, bringing guys off the street, literally. But they're playing with a confidence now that we haven't seen in a while either. And I think there's something, too, getting hot at the right time. You know, the Colts have won 10 of 11. Eagles have won 5 of 6. These teams are clicking at the right time. It's not college football where you need to be great all year long. You just got to get hot at the right time, and the Eagles are that.
Why is it, do you think, you mentioned pixie dust with the team and Foles outside of an Eagles uniform looks like, you know, a random quarterback in any Eagles uniform looks like a Hall of Famer. Why is it that Foles has such success with the Eagles? Is it just that Doug Peterson is that guy that's going to get out of a quarterback the most that's there? Is it what is it about Foles and his sort of ability to get these wins and this run of wins at Super Bowl and now going to Chicago?
Yeah, he fits very well in the Doug Peterson system, but don't forget what Doug Peterson admitted to doing. He went back before the Super Bowl last year, before the run, in fact, that Nick Foles went on, before the Vikings slaughter, even before the Atlanta game, and looked at film of what Chip Kelly got out of Nick Foles in that season in which Nick had 27 touchdowns and 2 picks. And then they went out and implemented some of those same plays. So they had to give Chip Kelly a lot of credit. There's a little bit of a special nature in the Doug Peterson-Nick Foles relationship. I think Doug shows a lot of confidence in Nick, as evidenced by the fact he always is aggressive. He's more aggressive with Nick Foles, for whatever reason, than with Carson Wentz. I promise you, next fourth down they have, remember, if it's fourth and short, they're going to go for it. I don't know if they would have done that with Carson Wentz. So Foles actually make Peterson a better coach in that respect, because I think way too many of these coaches are tight. And if for whatever reason, Peterson gets over that tightness when Foles is on the field. But to answer your question, I think everybody's asking themselves that same question. What a dilemma it is in Philly right now, Jason. What do you do moving forward? If Nick Foles beats the Saints, then what?
I mean, we've talked about that here on the air and off the air, and I'm like, I don't know how you can move away from Foles. And I know that Wentz and all that stuff, but I mean, if he's going to the NFC Championship game and, you know, they were, you know, a Vikings win away from not being there, and he wins the Super Bowl a year ago with the run he has and he's an MVP, you're talking about a Super Bowl MVP that then gets back to the NFC Championship game, that you would say, all right, bye, we're going to go with this guy who keeps getting injured.
Yeah, believe it or not, this will surprise you guys down there, I would think. He has to get to the Super Bowl to even be considered. That's wow. The sense I get. I know it's incredible. They love Wentz. Foles and Wentz love each other. They really are two great guys. Mm-hmm. It is very rare that that's the case. It's all genuine. But obviously, Nick needs his team now. I thought they had made a mistake not feeling him in the offseason because I knew they could get a ton for him. But obviously, they made the right decision now. Maybe it's getting to the point, though, it could be a problem if Nick Foles is on the roster moving forward. So if they lose here, I think he's done. If they win, then he's in a win, and you might be in Philly for a while type of scenario, which could be fascinating. But then, so you really are throwing Carson Wentz on the trade block? Like, that's odd, right, too, because you would think they'd get a boatload for Wentz, but in reality, it might get as much for Foles if you had him signed, because Wentz comes now with injury scares, and you know what that does to him.
It reminds me a little bit, and obviously it's vastly different because Wentz isn't the player that I'm going to mention first, but Gerbach, Rich Gannon, Marty Schottenheimer had a decision to make, and he stuck with Gerbach. Rich Gannon goes to the Raiders, and it was like, hey, wrong move, guy. You know, I'm not saying that Carson Wentz is Elvis Gerbach, but it reminds me of that, to where that guy was playing well. You have a choice. The other quarterback comes back. Who do you want to go with? Well, let's go with the guy that we believed in to begin with, not the backup, and that backup goes on and leads the team to a Super Bowl. In Rich Gannon, although Nick Foles already has a Super Bowl with the Eagles. What do you think of the matchup with New Orleans? It is an offense that is not nearly as potent as we saw earlier in the year, and they just went up against an offense that people thought were pretty good in the Bears, and Nagy certainly had them playing well. Do you like the matchup with the Saints that is an 8-point margin in favor of New Orleans?
I like the Eagles with the points, yes. I don't think the Eagles should be that big of an underdog, and they always thrive when they're an underdog. This team has that sort of mentality. They don't handle being a favorite very well. They handle being an underdog really, really well. It suits them well. It fits the personality of the city. You know, despite the fact it's one of the biggest markets in America, you are in the shadows of New York City, so there's always sort of that underdog feel. Boston with all success. Philly, big of the Boston. The Boston's had so much success recently. Philly seems like that underdog city, which forever didn't have any success until the 08 Phillies. So they fit the personality of this city. But in terms of the matchup with the Saints, look, they were destroyed when they played in New Orleans earlier this year. But this is a different team. That was a secondary that was laid to waste at that point. But it's a different group of men now that are playing with a different set of confidence. And you hit the nail on the head moments ago. This Saints team is not playing at its best right now. You talked about the importance of being hot. I talked about the importance of being hot. The Saints aren't exactly that. I don't want to make too much of getting dropped in week 17, but, man, you were annihilated. I mean, you could have put up a little bit of a fight. So from a Saints fan perspective, you know, all the pressure's on New Orleans here. The Eagles have their Super Bowl. Drew Brees is 39. I'd be a little concerned. You better get off to a good start. If this is a tight game and it gets later and later, I know it's Drew Brees on that other sideline, but don't count out this Philly team. They have a knack for making plays when the game's on the line. That said, I do believe the Saints make enough of them in their own building to get through. But again, this is a tough game to predict because this Philly team has a high ceiling that they rarely reach, but they've been getting there in recent weeks, and that's scary.
It is amazing, NFL football and sort of stories that develop over time, that 2 years ago, can you imagine if you'd have been saying, taking on Drew Brees, but if this thing gets close, remember, Nick Foles is on the sideline for the Eagles. He's going to be quarterback. Like, what are you talking about? Dude, you're just funny joke, guy. You just said Drew Brees, but it's Nick Foles that you're worried about. Who wins? Is it enough to get over the hump and knock off the number one seed, or Saints ultimately too much and move on?
Now, like I said, ultimately, I think it's going to be the New Orleans Saints moving on. I think this Philadelphia team has a shot, and they should not be getting 8 points. But at the end of the day,
yeah,
the superior team's on the other sideline. Again, it's hard to predict because just going by this year, the eyeball test, the statistics, everything you watch on film, the Saints should win easily. But you can't forget about what this team has done down the stretch of the season and what this core has done in the past. It's possible they could play a near-perfect game, and there is a concern if you're a New Orleans fan that this team has not exactly peaked at the right time, and they may have peaked back too early. But that said, Saints late field goal, they hold on to win.
We'll see what ends up happening. Tom Burns, SiriusXM there in Philly. Tom, as always, you're the man. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Jason. Appreciate it.
All right, there is a full court press on this Friday edition of the show. As we will play a little sports or leisure, and I believe bring in Nick Valvano. Magic, what ended up happening with a couple of other cities we were thinking about maybe going to? Because we end up with two, which is fine. We covered half the games going on this weekend. We just didn't get an answer from Boston or New Orleans.
Yeah, sometimes you throw the lines out. Sometimes the fish don't bite.
All right, well, there we go.
Means we're going to do it twice as good on Monday.
That's right, yes. We're going to have 18 people in full court press. That's right. We only had two on Friday. That means we're going to have six.
It's essentially going to be an Ollie Williams version of full court press. What'd you think of the game? We won. How'd you win? Played better. Thanks! San Diego!
Or LA!
Whatever!
San Diego, what happened? They're not here anymore. Thanks, San Diego. Let's head to L.A. L.A., what happened? We lost. Thanks, L.A. Which one? Chargers. All right, let's stay in L.A. L.A., what'd you do? We won. Thanks, Rams. So it's a little bit like that. Yes, maybe. I'm not sure. All right, that is a full court press on ESPN 680 105.7. We are hanging out, getting ready for some football coming up this weekend. Cold outside, snow, all of that stuff going on. Certainly glad that the fitness equipment is downstairs, that I don't have to deal with the cold, deal with the going to the gym, deal with anybody else at the gym, or deal with traffic, none of that stuff, or the fact that it gets dark before I'm even home from work. I've got the treadmill, the Precor treadmill, down in the man cave from the fitness market. Fantastic deals at the fitness market. They have the special financing of up to 60 months, no interest on selection of Precor treadmills and ellipticals. Wife and I took advantage of that. But they've also got the Matrix Fitness, and they are the exclusive retailer of Matrix Fitness. And the treadmills, ellipticals offer the full interactive touchscreen consoles, virtual reality. They've got Facebook, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, all the apps there to make that workout a little more enjoyable for you. Visit one of the two locations in Louisville. It is Westport Road, just inside the Snyder, or the Superstore, Plantside Drive at the corner of Watterson Trail. Chris and Pat Wider in business over 18 years. It is the Treadmill Medic that they've been in business with. Again, that is a that they service, they deliver, they install, they take care of everything in house. I cannot emphasize that point enough. If you've ever dealt with somebody that's going to give you a product that has to be delivered, that has to be maintained, the ease and simplicity of dealing with one company and not, well, I bought it from this company, it was delivered by that company, but that company outsourced a different company to install it, and now the installation messed up, but the delivery was this, but the company I bought it from, and now I'm dealing with three different people. Man, that is a hassle that you don't want. You just want what you bought, and you want it to perform the way that it should with the amount of money that you paid. Fitness Market, Treadmill Medic, man, it's all there, one-stop shop. They do it all. There's no red tape. There's no you call the Fitness Market. Hey, something's going on. Boom, they're there. It is the ease and simplicity of having that all in the house. I mean, it certainly is something that maybe you don't realize until you need to go down that route. TheFitnessMarket.com, Westport Road, just inside the Snyder, or the Superstore, Plantside Drive, corner of Watterson Trail. We will take a timeout, come back, sports or leisure on the other side of the break as we continue on this Friday edition of the show. 267-9680, load them up. Nick Valvano will join us, and he will take care of the leisure side. I got the sports side. We'll tell you the prizes and all of that stuff. That is coming up next. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
All the latest news from the people who are there. The Full Court Press on Kentuckiana's ESPN 680.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.